Blog Talk Radio.
Satanic hubris is unrelenting. It is indeed one of the most powerful forces in the current age. We read about the power of satanic hubris in Genesis 3. Now, I realize that in Genesis 3, the term Satan, which means slanderer or adversary, is not used. Neither is the term devil or diabolos not used. The term diabolos means one who divides from the reason or the one who penetrates truth. Or to literally to flow through is the meaning of the adjective devil. And so in Genesis 3, the term in Hebrew is the Nakash, or the Shining One. In Revelation 12, we get to understand that the Nakash, or the Shining One, is one of the many names or titles of the devil. And so, in Genesis 3, we read about the first attack on the human family, and it was against a home of the Adam and his wife. In Hebrew, we get the idea that we are walking in on a conversation. Well, not so much a conversation as a soft interrogation. And so the woman is being interrogated by the Nakash. And she has walked into his trap. She is not aware that she has fallen into the trap. And so that's as revealed to us the power of this nefarious being. I know the title of today's show is Meaning of Spirituality in Time. But I want you to have some idea of the origin of this quest for meaningfulness in the human family. It ultimately goes back to the task or the adversary. He is the one who is the instigator for it. Of human alienation, both self-alienation and other alienation. It goes back to he and his desire to create an autonomous human race that is autonomous or independent of thought. Someone long ago said that unless a finite being, just man, has a meaningful reference point, it is absurd. And so it has been the career of Satan, the desire and will of Satan to have humans believe that they can live independently. And he has used various means in which to dissuade humans away from thought. And so, having said that, that the original attack was in Genesis 3, it continued. There was a point before the great Mabel or the flood in which there was a division between the godly ones and the ungodly ones. And then we read that these two lines ultimately intermixed. And so the godly line was compromised, so which brought on the flood. And we read about the incurable ones who were the individuals, or the Hebrew name is Enosh. The Enosh or the incurable ones led to the flood event. And this is also another attack by the Satan. And the original creation that we read about in Genesis 1 and 2 is overthrown and collapsed. God collapses once again the firmament, and we go back to a pre-creation type of world. The only there is a glimpse of there, but there is life in that God had saved Noah and his family. The name Noah means rest, and so the ark is a type of Christ. Both Noah is a type of Christ, our rest, and the ark is a type of Christ. We say the ark of safety. The only window in the ark was at the top, so that one might look up. There are no windows in the sides of this great and massive vehicle that was not designed to sail. It was designed to float. It was designed to transport life once again out of darkness into the light. And after the creation event, God once again began the second creation event, and he brought the world back. This time the world would be different, very different from the pre-flood world. The culmination, this desire to destroy humankind, kind ended at the cross. The Satan had attempted to destroy Jesus when he was an infant or a child. That did not work. And then the Pharisees, the politicians, along with the Herodians and the Pharisees, came together, and they colluded on the destruction of Jesus. The Herodians, the Pharisees, got together, and they put together this plan to destroy Jesus. What is really interesting is that we read that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, there's a word in the Greek that indicates that those who sought to destroy Jesus were so pleased that he was now hanging on the cross that they had glee, the glee of children at play. And so they had believed that they had destroyed the life of the Christ. And because they were spiritually blind, they had no understanding of the scripture. We spoke about Yeshua HaMashiach and the fact that he would rise again from the dead. They thought this was the terminus or the end of them, that they had ultimately won. But then we read in the book of Acts that death realized that he could not hold him down, because Jesus is the Lord of glory. And so when it was time for Jesus to get up, he got up. Indeed, the term a diary or resurrection to stand up again. And so meaningful spirituality has to do with a relationship with the living and resurrected Lord. Now, individuals today are trained to believe that they are little more than political scions. They are merely the tools, the useful idiots, as it were, of political powers. Their lives are exempt of meaning. There's the literature of the post-war literature of the 20th century, written by many different authors, speak of this. And it would be a wonderful education to read this literature. One book I can recommend is by Marsha McLuhan, The Media and the Message. And there are a few others, for instance, The True Believer by Eric Hoffer, a very powerful book, Modern Man and Surgical Soul. Books of this nature provide some insight into what has happened to people in the modern world, modern man, surgical soul, I should say. And these books tell a story. The One Dimensional Man, One Dimensional Man is another very important book that should be read. Cancer Ward by Alexander Solzhenitsyn, to give you some idea as to what has gone on and why. Let me say that also the revocation of prayer, the destruction, attempted destruction of the public display of the Ten Commandments, this war on against the God in the lives of individuals has contributed to this rise of contempt. And also man's search for meaning is another very important book. So there is what I term a biblical logotherapy, and that is an understanding of what the Word of God has to teach about the importance of meaningful spirituality. And that is having a relationship with God through Christ Jesus. I'm not recommending church or church service, but I'm recommending having a relationship and understanding of what the Word of God teaches, so that one can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 6, Paul tells us, in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness and high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the and having done all to stand. Beloved, it is imperative to understand the Word of God and the necessity of having God's Word in one's life. You and I need to learn to wield the sort of spirit, which is the Word of God, sincerity and power. This is our greatest weapon, along with prayer, the capstone of the armor of God. Please make time to study God's Word. Become a real soldier of Christ Jesus. And let me say, there are many people who need your help to pray, who are slipping into this malaise of meaning. You can help them by sharing with them the Word of God. Good morning. My name is Dr. Cyrus. Have a wonderful day.